We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning and happy Saturday to you. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in beautiful St. Louis Hills, St. Louis, Missouri. Counting the days until Ted Drews reopens and we can get some of that frozen custard again.
Matt, I tell you what. Hey, just remember, if you're in New Athens, you can have ice cream right now at the Casey's.
At the Casey's, anytime.
you don't have to wait for it to open.
Is that 24 hours a day?
That Casey's, 24 hours a day.
Is that right?
Anytime you want, wow. You can have ice cream.
And I bet you can find Pastor John Lekumsky there any hour in the night, too.
Hanging out at the ice cream, little vending machine there. So, yeah, come in, buy me some ice cream. Yeah,
my his head under the soft serve machine.
Crank that sucker up. So, all right, so I've been doing some work.
I don't think we said what show this is.
That's right. Did I say what my name is?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I'm John Lekumsky. I'm from New Athens in Darmstadt, Illinois. You said who you were, didn't you?
Yeah, everyone knows who you are. You've been around long enough. You are a fixture on KFUO.
That's right. So are you ready? One, two, three. This is
Wrestling with the Basics. Ta-da!
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, thank you. I have been working hard, Matt. I want you to know that.
There's no
off button for me when it comes to this radio show. I have been seeking out only the finest, only the best of jokes.
Of course.
To share with our people.
Oh, we are well aware. Our longtime listeners know all about your jokes.
So let me share just a few of them with you here. Should we start with a riddle? Would you like to start with a riddle?
Oh, sure. Love riddles.
Okay,
Let's go.
We could have done this a few weeks ago. We had the baptism of Jesus, story of John the Baptist in Advent. So here's the question. What do Winnie the Pooh and John the Baptist have in common? Okay. What do Winnie the Pooh and John the Baptist have in common?
I don't know. What do they have in common?
Their middle name.
Oh,
you had to think about that for a second.
Yeah. Very good. Goodness. Oh, that's terrible.
Holy cow. I
like that one, though.
You thought that was good? Now, you know, in our church this Lent, we're doing a video series, by the way, for Lent about the different religions of the world.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So here's one that goes with different religions of the world.
Okay.
What did the Buddhist say to the hot dog vendor?
I don't know. What did the Buddhist say?
Make me one with everything. Get it?
Yeah, one with the universe, one with everything.
Okay, well.
Yeah, I get it, John.
All right. One more shot. All right, here it is. How many anesthesiologists does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I don't know. How many does it take?
99, 98, 97, 96. 95.
That was pretty good. That was
good.
Oh, wake up. Wake up, John.
Put myself to sleep.
No, that's good.
All right.
I was expecting a biblical connection to that one since the other two were kind of biblical. But
No, that's
funny. I've probably told you this, but our Tuesday morning Bible class at Ascension, we start each Bible class with our joke of the week.
No, I didn't know that.
I didn't tell you that. Yeah, so we...
Oh, this is awesome.
So
we
take prayer requests. It's been nice. We take prayer requests and, and we pray together. You know, sometimes requests, you know, are kind of downers, you know, someone's sick or something.
That's right. Yeah. Those downers, those sick people, I tell you, what's wrong with them?
But then, of course, that's a wonderful thing to pray together,
of course.
You know, obviously. Shouldn't be joking about that, I guess.
But then,
after the prayers, we have our joke of the week. So that's kind of a nice follow-up. So we take turns. We rotate in Bible class. Each week, someone volunteers for the next
weekend.
Is
that right?
And we have our joke of the week.
Oh, we'll have to start this in New Athens.
So what was the joke of the week?
What was the joke of the week?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I got to go back all the way to Tuesday? Oh, I can't remember. But well, the reason I was thinking of that was the Winnie the Pooh one and John the Baptist. I think I'm going to have to tell the joke of the week. Pastor's going to have to volunteer. So thanks for the material.
Okay,
that's good.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
It was a good one. Oh, I wish I could remember it. I'll have to look it up. But I remember it was a good one.
All right. Well, now here's your assignment.
Told it.
Dear Jan, remind your pastor, because next time we have Wrestling with the Basics, he's going to share the joke of the week.
Yes.
From Jan Pendleton. Okay?
Okay.
Because we need, I can't be doing this all the time. I don't have time to find all these good jokes. So we need help from people like Jan.
Yeah, we need to recruit everyone. This is a team effort, people. Help us out.
You know, I like that idea. You do that in your Bible study. Just kind of pass it around. So everyone listening to us now, start working on those jokes and get them to us.
That's right. Okay. That's right.
I got more important stuff to do than looking up jokes for you. So, all right. I don't know. What a crazy start to this show, because we're going to talk about something that's not funny at all, Matt. Maybe we need a couple more jokes here, because I want to talk about hell. Is that all right?
Yeah. Wait a second. The joke is coming back to me.
It's coming back to him. Okay.
Should I wait till next time?
No. Tell us now. Okay. Tell us now.
I'm not going to do as good a job as Jan did, though. But it's coming back to me. George W. Bush is in the airport.
Okay.
And he sees this guy with a long beard holding these stone tablets.
Okay.
And he goes up to him and goes, Are you Moses? And Moses doesn't say a word, just ignores him.
Yeah.
And again,
this
he goes
is
up
George
to him
Bush,
goes,
by
yeah,
the
this
way.
Is George Bush goes up to, have you heard this one?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
no,
George
I'm
Bush
excited.
Goes up to Moses again and says, you know, I'm sure, you know, got the beard, you got the Ten Commandments there. You must be Moses. Moses, you know, goes out of his way to ignore George W. Bush. You know, a third time, Bush comes up to Moses, says, you got to be Moses. The, you know, the guy from the Old Testament. He goes, I'm going to stay right here until you tell me, yeah, you are Moses. And Moses, you know, kind of rolls his eyes and he's frustrated. And he goes, the last time I talked to a bush, I was in the wilderness for 40 years.
Jan, thank you very much.
don't blame me for that one. You can blame Jan for that one. And her husband, Jack.
Oh, good. Well, you know, maybe again, like I said, it's good we've had some laughs here, because there's no laughter for the rest of the show, because we want to talk about the teaching of hell, Matt, and it's not...
All right, now, there's no time
Thank
for
you.
Foolishness.
Now it's time enough of that. For the hell talk.
Well, and it's just, you know, I'm actually thinking about something that you mentioned last week, because we were talking about why Lutherans practice close communion, whatever you want to say. We ask people to know what's going on before they just come and take the Lord's Supper. We just don't offer it to everyone, but we want people to have an understanding, because that's what Jesus says in 1 Corinthians, right? Whoever eats this and drinks this without discerning the body does so for his judgment.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
obviously
Paul gives
that's
us that warning. Yeah,
and I hate that passage, but it's what the Bible says. Okay, I can't get around it. I didn't say that they eat it and drink it to their judgment. That's what the Apostle Paul says, and it's the same way with the doctrine of hell. I literally hate the doctrine of hell. With C.S. Lewis, I would say I would be willing to do anything to get rid of the doctrine of hell, but there's no getting around it. It's what the Bible teaches. It's, again, last week, Matt, thank you again for emphasizing that what we do in the Lord's Supper is the words of Jesus. It's not the words of men. It's so hard, so incredibly difficult to believe, but it isn't our thought, our opinion. It's what Jesus says. And, of course, the whole business about the judgment of hell is in the words of Jesus, too. Although it occurs to me, what's interesting is hell would not be a problem for any other religion. Every other religion that's based upon, well, you get what you get, depending on how good you are. Hell is a natural thing, right? Yeah, you go to heaven because you were so good. You get the 70 virgins because you did whatever Allah told you to do. And if you don't do these things, of course you
get... Then you go to hell, right?
But of course, hell is a problem for Christianity, because we believe that God is a God of mercy. So the same Lord Jesus who says, I gave my body and blood for you, I'm giving it to you to eat and drink now for the forgiveness of your sins, is the same Lord Jesus who says at the end, depart from me into the eternal fires prepared for the devil and his angels. But again, as much as I hate the doctrine of hell, It is what the Bible teaches, and I do think we need to talk about it.
Because you got these verses, Old and New Testament, you know, Ezekiel, for instance, where God says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they would turn from their evil ways and live. And then you got in the New Testament, you know, that God desires that all come to a knowledge of the truth. And he doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He wants us to be with him forever in his presence.
And I think when we talk about hell, that's probably the first thing we need to say, is that hell isn't really God's idea. It's not what God wants. Mm-hmm. But it is a reality, and we're going to discover in the weeks to come why that has to be, why God cannot simply by a fait accompli. I'm working on my French.
Ooh.
Why can I say, it's gone. It's not, no, it's there. In fact, again, quoting C.S. Lewis, who said, I would be willing to do everything I could to get rid of hell. Yeah. The fact of the matter is, God did do everything necessary to get rid of hell. He suffered and died on the cross. He gave up his life as a ransom for many. But unfortunately, hell still remains as a possibility and a reality.
And I find great comfort, though, in knowing that it's not as if God is just sort of neutral on us going to heaven or hell.
Ooh.
He's just kind of indifferent. You know, either way, whatever happens.
Up to you.
Happens,
up Make to your you. Choice.
And, yeah, no, he's not. No, we see again and again. No, he wants us to be with him. That's his desire. That's his heart, that, out of love for us. But yet, like you said, hell is still a reality, though.
And again, yeah, let's all, as we're dealing with hell, because it's not a very nice subject, but let's keep that in mind. This is exactly where God doesn't want us to be.
Well, yeah.
Thank you for reminding us.
Well, and
that.
I think, you know, why was hell created in the first place? You know, for the devil and his angels, right?
Exactly.
It
wasn't ever, that's right. It never was his thought that people would go there. People will go there. But again, in the creation of it, that wasn't why he made it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, as we'll talk about it in a few weeks, is what makes hell so horrible, because it really isn't a place designed for people to be.
Yeah, wow.
But let's start with the Old Testament today, Matt. What I'd like to do is talk about the doctrine of hell or eternal punishment in the Old Testament. And you know, there's a big controversy about this right now, because there's a lot of biblical scholars who claim that the Old Testament doesn't teach about hell. And the reason they do that is because there really isn't a word for hell in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Now, there is a word called Sheol, mm-hmm. right? But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, in the Psalms, that comes up quite a bit. Yeah. That's Sheol. And yeah, what are we talking about there? There's a Hebrew word, ohel or something, I think. And I think it means tent in Hebrew. But
is that right?
It sounds like hell, but it's not.
Well, and the problem with this whole Sheol thing is that it is it's a lot of times it's used for just the place of dead.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's not necessarily a place of where there's punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why these scholars say, well, really, the Old Testament doesn't understand hell. That's a New Testament thing. That's something that came between the Testament periods. But what we want to point out to you through the use of Scripture is, no. Whether there actually is a word for hell in the Old Testament or not, and I think there is, and we'll talk about that, but certainly the Old Testament authors, inspired by the Holy Spirit, realize that there is going to be a punishment. There is a punishment that comes. Well, let me just throw out a couple of passages here, because again,
good.
As you emphasize, we don't care what Matt and John says. We want to know what God says in the Scripture. So just read like Deuteronomy 4:23-24, if you would.
All right. Let's see. I don't think I have that one in front of me.
Oh,
but
did I give you the wrong one? Oh, okay. Sorry, Matt.
All right. Okay, so Deuteronomy 4:23-24. It says, take care lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make a carved image, the form of anything that the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God.
All right, so there's no doubt that there is a God of judgment, okay? And, of course, the kind of hellish image we have here is that he's a consuming fire. Read Deuteronomy 7.
Okay.
There's another passage.
Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations.
So as you said, he doesn't want to do this. What he wants to do is be faithful, to have that steadfast love. What a beautiful image that is, the guy that's always there for you, always caring, blessing, forgiving. However, it goes on to say,
and repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will not be slack with the ones who hates him. He will repay him to his face.
All right, so there's no doubt that if you read through the Old Testament, there's plenty of passages that said God is a God of judgment, and he will bring punishment upon those who worship false idols, who don't obey him, or who hate him. Now, of course, I think these same scholars would say, well, yeah, but it's not hell, because it's not an eternal thing. You know, it just God may punish you here and now, mm-hmm. but it's not going to be going on forever and ever. And yet, I just threw a couple of passages out here, Isaiah 66:24.
Okay. And they shall go out and look on the dead bodies of the men who have rebelled against me, for their worm shall not die, their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh.
And again, like I said, I'm sorry, this is not a very pleasant study, but the worm shall not die, their fire shall not be quenched.
Yeah.
That's pretty well
That's
sounds
pretty rough.
Eternal to me.
Yeah, and ongoing.
If that isn't clear enough, certainly Daniel 12:2 states it as plain as can be said.
And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Okay. So honestly, whatever you want to do with the word hell in the Old Testament, there's no doubt that the Bible understood of this kind of eternal judgment that God would bring upon people. Again, not willingly, not because he wants, but you reject God's grace, you worship other gods, you hate God and what he wants. Well, what other options does the Lord have except for these eternal consequences? And we'll talk more about that, why it has to be the way it is. But I would like to spend some time working with the word Sheol, which is the word that the old King James Version always translated as hell. Some of the newer translations sometimes translate hell, or they'll have the place of the dead or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You got any feelings or opinions about this word, Sheol, from your studies of the Old Testament, Matt? Or?
Well, you know, it comes up quite a bit. I mean, I think especially in the Psalms, we see that quite a bit. You know, we usually have a psalm of the day. We say a psalm during worship, and Sheol comes up quite a bit. But again, I think, you know, not necessarily this one-to-one correlation with hell, but yet this place of the dead, I think might be the best way to approach it.
Will it come at, you're doing psalms for Lent. Are you going to do any psalms that we'll talk about Sheol,
yeah,
you think?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe this will be a little help to you then as you address that subject in your Lenten study.
Yeah.
Because it's true, there are some places where it's sounds like a place of the dead. And I say that because there are places where the righteous people talk about being there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. Although, as I study this, my understanding is, yeah, the righteous realize that's a possibility, but even they are frightened of that. They don't want to do that. Sheol is never a neutral place in the Old Testament. It's always a place that is righteous and unbelievers alike should be frightened of. Well, let's just talk about some of the places where it really is obviously a terrible place. Job 24:19, for example.
Drought and heat snatch away the snow waters. So does Sheol those who have sinned.
And Psalm 55:15, talk about the Psalms.
Let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol alive. For evil is their dwelling place and in their heart.
So there's no doubt that the Bible in the Old Testament talks about a Sheol as a place where the wicked will go. I like that passage, too. Let them go down to Sheol alive. So you still have that kind of sense that this is not just a one-time deal and done, but it's kind of a ongoing thing. And like I said, we will have to wrestle with that. Why would God make it that way? And it's interesting, too, that Sheol, of course, the traditional picture for hell, it's not the only picture for hell, though, but often the Bible talks about it as a place of fire. Same way in the Old Testament, Proverbs 30:16.
Sheol, the barren womb, the land never satisfied with water, and the fire that never says enough.
And Deuteronomy also talks about a fire is kindled by my anger and it burns to the depths of Sheol. So I'm looking at this, Matt, and how could you say this is a neutral place?
Yeah, it's probably not. Or you want a vacation, huh?
That's right.
Even in February.
That's right. You want to go a little further south, but not that far.
Not that far south.
All right. Now, here's the why people question whether that it is a place of punishment, the hell as we and I know it from the New Testament, because a lot of the saints talk about being in hell. Genesis 37, Jacob now is talking about this.
And then Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, "No, I shall go down to Sheol to my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him.
All right. Do you know what the context of that passage is there, Matt?
I think that's this is Jacob, and when he thinks that Joseph has died, right?
Yeah. Okay, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, they've come and brought him the bloodied coat of many colors. But here's Jacob, who we know is one of God's righteous people, and that he talks about not only him going down to Sheol, but also his son, Joseph, who he assumes has died. How about, again, the Psalms? David, speaking in Psalm 18, verse 5.
David says, "The cords of Sheol entangled me, the snares of death confronted me."
And so finally then Isaiah 38:10, which another king here. This is King Hezekiah. And a good king, by the way. There are a lot of wicked, evil kings, but no, this is a good king. Good King Hezekiah.
I said, "In the middle of my days I must depart. I am consigned to the gates of Sheol for the rest of my years."
So that's why some of the biblical scholars say, it's not because obviously God's people, righteous people like Jacob, David, and Hezekiah, they don't go to hell. But my understanding of these passages is that all of us should be frightened of hell. And that even as righteous people, even as God's people, we realize that that's a reality. And it's a reality that you and I deserve. We might pick this up in a future discussion, but one of the things that struck me when C.S. Lewis wrote about hell is he said, when you're dealing with hell, you need to always remember it's not talking about your son or your wife. It's not talking about Nero or Judas Iscariot. It's about you and me. So that's an important thing to remember. The doctrine of hell is to remind all of us that we are sinful people. And if God gave us what we deserved, this is where we'd end up. But now I want to end with a little bit of happiness, a little bit of joy. If you would read Psalm 31, verse 17.
Okay. Psalm 31, verse 17.
No, let's do Psalm 18, I think.
Psalm 18.
Yeah, that's the passage that you just read. That's what I think. That's me. David talked about the cords of Sheol entangling him, but read the whole passage.
Okay, so Psalm 18, verses 5 and 6 now. Okay. "The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and when my cry to him reached his ears."
One of the things that we have in our liturgy, at least in one of the liturgies, you're talking about worship, we'll be back with that next week. But we say that we deserve both temporal and eternal punishment, which means, really, if you gave us what we deserve, you'd be given us punishment here, but also forever. And yet that's the beautiful promise that we have in the Old Testament now. We cry out to the Lord because we know that's a reality, and the Lord hears our voice, and the Lord, of course, delivers us. In fact, Jonah 2, verse 2, being spoken by a man who's experiencing hell on earth, trapped inside of a great fish, and this is what he says. Jonah 2, verse 2.
Yeah. "I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice."
Okay. So that's the Old Testament. I whatever scholars want to say, I think it definitely teaches about a judgment, an eternal judgment. Maybe sometimes Sheol seems like kind of a place of the dead, but I don't think it's ever used in a neutral sense. It's not a place you want to be and remain. And of course, the clear teaching of the Old Testament is that you cry out to the Lord, and the Lord's going to deliver you from Sheol. And what I'd like to do in 2 weeks is I'd like to then pick up the New Testament, because the New Testament actually has a whole bunch of words that talk about hell, and some of them you can't get around. They are certainly talking about this eternal judgment. But I'd be willing to bet you, Matt, when we go to the New Testament, again, we'll have the same comfort. As you pointed out, God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. In fact, he has provided the way that men might be delivered from that and instead have the great blessings he's prepared for us in heaven. What are you going to talk about next week as we go back to worship, Matt?
Sure. We're going to pick up again with following communion and connected communion. What else do we say? What else do we say? And I think words in our service that really point to the fact of what we talked about last week, that Jesus is really there, that this is his body, this is blood. As we hear the words of John the Baptist, we hearken back to his words, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world."
Yeah, a lot of them funny words, though. That's what your lay person said, didn't they? The Agnus Dei the Nunc Dimittis. What in the world is that stuff?
What are you talking about?
You're going to explain it all to us next week.
We'll unpack the Latin and other languages and talk about, what does this mean? Where does this come from? And again, always going back to God's Word through our worship and looking to that as our source of comfort and the source of truth. And we'll see you next Saturday on Wrestling with the Basics.